1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how we turned to God from idols to serve, to work for the living and true God, to serve the Lord. Now, Psalms 100, the second verse, 100th chapter says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And oh man, we're going to work for the Lord this week. And I'm sure those that went down to park cars and the Sweet Corn Festival came in singing every day. At night, midnight last night, they had a song on their heart as they lifted refrigerators and loaded them into trucks and brought them out and flipped hoagies. And yes, hallelujah, what a day, what a day. I can tell you, I was about that joyous about 3:30 in the morning driving back from Pennsylvania. I was just ecstatic with joy. Figuring out how I can just work for God. Hallelujah. Why did you even schedule that on this week anyway? I can't understand. And I don't even know if you had the mind of God when you took this thing. I'm exhausted. And I've got so much. Huh? Come serve the Lord with what? Gladness, and come before His presence with, oh yes. Don't you know how much I've got to get done? And I, oh hallelujah. In fact, you know, and in fact, I hate to, you know, bring it up too much, but there's another whole sort of mindset in the Bible. Mark the 10th chapter, starting at about the 42nd verse, it said, but Jesus called them to Him and said unto them, you know, they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. That sounds good. I'm going to lock everybody up. I'm the pastor. You give me your vacation, we're going to work. And you smile. Sing as you come in here. Verse 43. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister or servant. Wow. That's a different concept, isn't it? Go ahead, next verse. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. Let's go on. 45th verse. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Now notice that word minister there. I know we think of a minister as, you know, well, you're the minister and you're preaching, and there are others, and well, you know, this one's a minister and we're glad to have all of our ministers. But that wasn't what this word meant. When you go back and you read it in the original text, it was, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but He came to serve. It was a little different take. In fact, if you have in the Amplified Version, that 45th verse, there the Amplified Version simply reads like this, for even the Son of Man came not to have service rendered to Him. He didn't come to have, okay, line up, we're going to get workers. We got to have a lot of workers for God. He didn't come to mount an army of workers, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for instead of many. Now you say, wow, this is kind of a little bit heretical, because what pastor gets up and tells his people, we don't need workers. Just the opposite. A church always needs workers. A church always needs somebody to put their hand to the wheel. We have more jobs than we have people. We have more things that need to be done than we have folks that can do them. And you know, we almost do backflips, as you know, when you're involved and you know, somebody comes up and says, Pastor, what can I do? Can I help? Man, you go, woo, hallelujah, man, you're about to spaz out. I can't believe it. Ha ha. Fabulous. Because every church needs workers, and yet what this said was, he says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Now, you say, well, I don't get that. I mean, you know, every pastor's up always trying to get people to come do something. And yet, on the same time, the Lord said he doesn't really need anything. And so, what do you mean? I mean, you know, I've got to be his hands. He's not going to invite somebody. I've got to invite him. He's not going to, you know, pray. You know, he doesn't come lay hands or visit the sick or you know, if there's a hurricane that comes through, you know, Jesus got to have my hands to give them water or give them food. Right? I've got to do something. And yet, in the midst of all of that, yet the Lord said, I don't really want you to serve me. I came to serve you. In fact, Paul, in Acts, the Lord, again, Acts the 17th chapter, the 24th and 25th verse, another sermon here where he says, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Verse 25 says, this next verse, it says, neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needs anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Well, wait a minute. Are you saying that, you know, you took up money and you asked for workers and you're saying God doesn't need anything? And I know the story that we all like to tell about the guy from the city that came out and saw the farmer's field and said, wow, what a beautiful field. Isn't God blessing you? Isn't that wonderful? And the farmer turns and says, yeah, but you should have seen it when God had it by himself. You know, I've had to do something. And you say, well, you know, I don't get that. Here the Bible says that God doesn't need anything. And yet, you know, as a pastor, and all I hear is, we got to have work, and we got to get some work done. You know, we got this job this week, and next week we've got this job, and you know, then we're going to camp, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to have that, and then I need how many will be here for prayer, and then how many will be here, and how many are going to fast, and how many are going to, and it's work, 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 work. And oh, you know, it's much better. You know, if you've got a small church, it's much better because then everybody's got to do everything. I guess. Man, it's like, okay, I need all of you. Five people that are on this row. I need five people tomorrow. I mean, in a larger church, well, you know, I can sit back and I, you know, well, praise God. He needs folks that'll work, but Brother Shane will work. He's a minister. He'll be there. I don't have to get involved. So maybe as the church gets bigger, you know, well, I don't have to do very much. I can sit back and I don't have to. Oh, man, you know. And then, you know, folks can say, well, I came and I, you know, my work is I give. And so this mindset of, you know, wait a minute. What do I need to do? And what is it that you can't bring God anything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I know some of you, not many of you, but some of you feel that way. You know, well, hey, if the Lord wants my tithes, he can just take it directly out of my check. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give it. He can just get it out of my hide. I know some of you feel that way because you don't pay tithes. So You just expect God to get it from you somehow. I don't know. And if He does, well, He does. Bless your heart. That's fine. I mean, God's going to get His. So, you know, let Him just work me over. That's all right. I love it. I don't want to give with gladness and joy. I want God to just yank it from me. Well, God bless you. I mean, I'm not mad at you. I think it's a wonderful idea. It's a great concept. Make God get it out of my billfold. Whatever. I don't know. But you see, here's this idea. Well, you know, what do I do? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, so I don't need to give. Or He owns all the war. So I have to work. And so I don't understand all this work concept and this Labor Day. And oh, I know it's getting quiet and I should have had whatever. And so you say, in fact, David talked about this. Psalms the 50th chapter. Go back in the Old Testament and David read this psalm. Psalm the 50th chapter beginning at the 7th verse. And he began to... Oh, let's read that in the Amplified. I'm sorry. I didn't read it in the Amplified there. The 24th and 25th verses. Do we have that next? The Amplified of Acts the 17th chapter. For God who produced and formed the world and all the things in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in handmade shrines. Verse 25... goes on to say in the Amplified, next verse, neither is He served by human hands, as though He lacked anything. For it is He Himself who gives life and breath to all things and to all people. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I it's like, He's not in this shrine, and so we're going to build a church, and we're going to make a beautiful edifice, and our church is beautiful, and we're going to try to make it functional, and get an elevator, and do some of those things. And we've talked about these issues and plans, and it's not to make a shrine because God doesn't need a shrine. And you say, well, it's the only place He can live is if we have a beautiful building. No, and what we like, we're glad that it's beautiful, and we work hard, and we have folks that work hard, and we try to make it look as nice and it's pretty and all of those things out of honor to God. And yet God doesn't just dwell here. It's our temple, our bodies. I understand that. But go with me to Psalms the 50th chapter. Let's look at the 7th verse. It says, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Next verse. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. He said, I'm not going to get on to you for those. What? I'm not going to get on to you for bringing an offering? Good night. I thought I was doing that because I needed to. Go on. I will take no bullock out of thy house, no he-goats out of thy folds. Verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. Go ahead. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. Verse 12. Go ahead. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Wow. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Verse 13. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Lord. I want to tell you something. Why the Lord was making such a deal about this. Because I want, and I know, I encourage folks to pay tithes and to work and to come and do and be involved. But if you can't do some of this with, let me go back. If you can't do all of it with thanksgiving, with joy, I want to tell you, you're missing it. And I, as one, will tell you, don't give it. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. He loves somebody that you know, is so thankful for what God has done. I'm sorry, I've been so blessed. How could I not come and help someone else? And a storm has come through and maybe taken out my neighbor's house or the town down the road. How could I not with thanksgiving say, I want to help someone else. How could I not? Huh? But oh, when it's work and when it's, you know, oh yeah, the pastor's telling us again. I'm gonna maybe if I don't look, make eye contact, I'll hide behind the lady with the big hair so that he won't see me whenever he's scanning the room and saying, okay, I need volunteers. Where are you? Raise your hand. And, you know, praise God, I don't want to see him. You know what? I'm sorry, but this is what the Lord told him. He says, what? If I were hungry, I don't need your food. Go on. Next verse. He said, offer unto God the thanksgiving. I will call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. What are you talking about, Lord? What is it that you want? If you don't want bulls and goats, what is it that you're the sacrifices? And oh, I understand. We pay our tithes and we give and we work and we go whatever it's to camp or we're working around the church and all those things. But what is it that God asked for? You know what God really asked us to give? He said, well, you give yourself. Well, even greater than that. You know what he said? He said things like this. Give me your cares and your anxiety. Cast all your cares on me. That's what I really want. Oh, you need to pay your tithes and you need to be involved. But you know what the Lord really said I want you to do is because when you start coming and bringing with thanksgiving, not only that, but guess what? He said that in 1 Peter, but it's, I'm going to take your cares and your worries. Well, what are you talking about? How can putting a dollar in the offering plate help get rid of my cares and anxiety? How can paying my tithe? It's just, that's the way it is. Whenever I give of myself, all of a sudden, the Lord, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, says, casting your anxieties or your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Mark, the 2nd chapter and the 17th verse, says it like this. When Jesus heard it, He said, the whole have no need for a physician, but they that are sick. So you know what the Lord says? Bring me your sickness. Bring me your problems. Bring me your emotional problems. Bring me your old baggage. And guess what? I can change you. I can make it brand new. I can take your past and I can give you something brand new for it. I can make you a new creature in Christ. Oh, this is not about how much you work. Oh, I work, but I'm not supposed to be working as a slave or a laborer. Can't wait. Thank God Labor Day's here. No, it ought to be God. I am so glad that I can come and leave my burdens on you at the feet of Jesus. I'm so thankful that I am able to come and be in your presence. Oh, but Pastor, you know, I understand it's hard, you know, because I don't like to be at church whenever you're taking up volunteers, because I don't want to have to be there and I don't want to have to be the one, and I can just sit back and I can step back and avoid the whole situation. I understand it. I'm not. Unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not going to come after you and grab you by the throat. I'm just, that's not me, you know. It's okay. I'm glad when pastors can do it. Tell you, you better give me your vacation. Why didn't you? It's all right. But you know what? At some point, this is supposed to come because I love God. Romans, the 4th chapter, Paul began to discuss this whole issue through the book of Romans, and he made some statements that are a little bit hard to understand, because he would say one thing one place kind of and one thing another. But Romans, the 4th chapter, he starts off, we'll read it in the Amplified, about the grace and mercy of God. He says it like this. He says, but if so, what shall we say about Abraham, our forefather, humanly speaking? What did he find out? What did Abraham find out? How does this affect his position and what was gained by him? Go ahead. For if Abraham was justified or established as just and acquitted from guilt by good works that he did, then he has grounds for boasting, but not before God. He said, if it's your works that are saving you, then guess what? I'm holier than you are. I'm better than you are. That doesn't fly to God, sorry, because your holiness is like filthy rags to Him. You can be holier than me, hands down. But you can't be holier than God. So He says you got to be careful in this work mentality. Go ahead, read on. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed in and trusted God. And it was credited to his account as righteousness. Right living and right standing with God. So what are you saying? The pastor, it doesn't matter how I live. I can have sloppy grace. I can just live any old way I want because it doesn't matter. That's as foolish as saying, well, it doesn't matter. God don't have to pay my tithes. I don't have to go to church. God owns it all anyway. Huh? You see how? Go on. Next verse. Now to a laborer, to a worker, this is Labor Day, his wages are not counted as favor or a gift, but as an obligation. Something owed to him. In other words, you know, you work all week, the boss gives you a check, you don't run in, oh, thank you, thank you. What a wonderful blessing, you gave me a check. Oh, you are so kind. How lovely. You owe me that. I worked. We agreed. What? Thank you, thank you. Hey, I deserve more than this. I worked twice as hard. Huh? How many times have we looked at it and thought, man, I did all of that for this? Huh? He said, as a laborer, it's not counted as favor or gift, but as an obligation. Go on. Next verse. But to the one who not working by the law trusts or believes fully in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness. Wow. The standing acceptable to God. What are you talking about? You know what? Is it wrong to try to do right and live right? No. But those things cannot credit you in right standing to God. What are you saying? It's not, well, you know what? I'm so much better. No, it's by the grace of God. I come in with thanksgiving. I should come in with, oh, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for cleaning me up. I'm so thankful I'm not bound to some of the things that everybody else is bound. I'm so thankful I don't have the habits. Why? Because, oh, what a wonderful, you've brought me freedom. Go on. Next verse, he says it. Go on to verse 6. He says it like this. Thus David congratulates the man and pronounces a blessing on him to whom God credits righteousness apart from the works that he does. Verse 7. He goes on to say, blessed and happy to be envied, and those whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered up and completely buried. What are you talking about? You know, you're saying, well, you know, it's because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, because of the justification of God. Oh, I realize sanctification takes a little longer than justification. It happened immediately. And sanctification, I'm working on trying to do better and act right and get my mind right. But you know what? It's not because of who I am, but it's because of what He's done for me. What He did for me on Calvary. How blessed I feel. If I come into it with a works mentality. And yet, Paul later on in this Romans, the 12th chapter and the 11th verse, he's very specific about you need to serve the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 11. He says, be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In fact, he kind of got upset at some folks, 16th chapter of Romans, and he said, you know what? Some folks serve their belly. Romans 16 and 18. For they are such that serve not our Lord, but what? Their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So you say, well, what is it that serving the Lord means? You know, what is it that serving the Lord means? It really comes down to a spirit of humility that is saying, I'm waiting on the mercy of God. If it weren't for God, where would I be? David wrote it in Psalms. He gave us a little insight. Psalms, the 23rd chapter, first couple of verses. It says, unto thee lift up my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Verse 2, he says, next verse, he goes on to say, I lift up my eyes. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy. What are you talking about? He says that our posture is that of, Lord, what is it that I can do for you? Like a servant that's waiting for the hand of the master. Like, you know, someone in a fine restaurant that looks, oh, your glass is empty here. I'm going to fill it up. Oh, you drop a fork. Let me get you a new one. Oh, was that? Here, let me. Huh? My service to God is not because, praise God, I got to do something else today. But what a privilege it is. Until He has mercy. Oh, because what a privilege it is to be in the presence of the Lord. That's what the servant is doing. That's what the maiden says when she looks at the hand of her mistress and she says, what a privilege it is. What the Lord has brought me from. And I understand that it's a little tough concept, and I don't want to overwhelm you with the concept, but it's like money. How many really serve money? I'm not supposed to be preaching about money on Labor Day, I know. But what is it that we do? In fact, Matthew tells us, 6th chapter, 24th verse, powerful verse, no man can serve, for either he will hate one, love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That's mammon. It's money. How do you serve money? How do you serve money? How's money served? Well, praise God, I'm glad I got a few shekels in my pocket. I'm not serving money. How do you serve money? What is it that money does for us? Oh, money, buy me some lunch today. Right? Money can buy me clothes. Money gets me on a car, puts gas in my car. Money runs missions, puts our youth in youth camp. Money. Money. Green. Now it's multicolored. Money. How do you serve money? Pastor, I don't know. How do you serve money? Most of us, number one, we understand that money buys things. And anybody got a money tree in their backyard? Wish. Yeah, so do I. Money just, you go home and money just floats down from heaven. It's like, you know, the tooth fairy. Wake up, roll back the pillow. There it is. Money. Yay. Hallelujah. Huh? Is that where it comes from? No, I work for it. I go to work. I've made a covenant or an agreement with somebody, and they say, you work for me, I'll pay you some money. Why do you work for money? Because money puts clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Take me to the doctor if I need to go. And man, with lots of money, you can have fun. You can buy tickets next week to the USC game in the shoe. But you got to have a lot of this. Huh? Boy, it's entertaining. Wow. It'll keep me connected with my cell phone and Twitter and Facebook and money. That's why I work, for money. I come to church, live for God, but I really work for money. Because look at all that money does for me. Why this verse then? You can't serve God and money. What are you talking about? We work for this because of what it can do for us. We serve the Lord because of what He does for me and what He did for me. It's not about what if, oh, I came to church today and I'm expecting God to, It's about what a privilege it is to be in His presence. It's not Labor Day. It's not labor. It is not hard for me to pay my tithes. It's not hard for me to come and volunteer. And if something happens, it's not hard. Why? Because it's not about what's it doing for me. It's about what can I do for Him. It's a mindset of, my Lord, prayer meeting again. Dear God, Pastor calls these things. I don't understand. Why am I? It's not about, oh my Lord. It's about I get to privilege with the corporate body. I can come into His presence and pray. Oh, I got to read the Bible. Oh, now He's going to make a big deal about bread charts and reading the Bible. And you know, it's going to be embarrassing. And but it's somebody that I just love. What an honor it is to come into His presence. Oh, what a privilege. It's what He's done for me. Oh, I get more out of the presence of God. And I understand that whether it's at the Sweet Corn Festival or flipping a hamburger or parking the car, it may at times not feel like I'm doing much. But you know what? When I can keep my mind back on why am I doing this, and maybe, you know, the fellowship of somebody else in the church, all of a sudden it feels right and it feels good. And I'm really leave there. And I'm exhausted, but I'm also feeling great. You know why? I got to be around God's people again. I got to do something. And it wasn't that I had to. It wasn't that I was made to. Oh, I know. Pastor, don't go too nuts because you've got children and family. And I realize and you should take a break and be with your family and all of that. But if you're working because of obligation, the Lord said, I'm not hungry. What you bring me is done because you love. Why? Because it brings glory to God when I come out of an honor, an obligation. In fact, and we read it last week, but 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse, we'll read it out of the Amplified again, because this verse kind of sums it up. It says, whoever speaks, let it do it as one who utters the oracles of God. Whoever renders service, whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly. No one's asking you to go or to give or to sacrifice. God's not interested in what you can bring Him. He wants to do something for you today. He said, whatever you do, it's not about, oh, pastor's, oh, my tongue's hanging out. Oh, he's working us to death. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly. Why? So that in all things, what happens? God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever throughout the East, endless ages. Amen. So be it. Labor Day was started because workers were being taken advantage of. I am not advocating that workers should be taken advantage of. I'm not advocating that folks give or sacrifice above what they're able. We're going to be taking up money in the next few weeks and months and working on the building. But listen to me very carefully, and I say this humbly, but I say it very carefully, truthfully. If you're feeling pressured by me or someone else because, oh, pastor's going to make me... It's not that. It's wrong attitude. It's not me. I'm not pressuring you. I'm not obligating you. I'm not demanding that you be here. I'm not demanding that you give. I'm not even demanding that you pay your tithes. I mean that. Oh, pastor, you're going to get mad. No. Oh, I understand. I encourage folks to pay their tithes and to give and sacrifice. But I've last 5.5 years, very few of you can raise your hand and say, pastor called me and said, okay, why aren't you paying your tithes? I might have called you in, encouraged you. What's up? What can we do? Why haven't you been here? Because at some point, you know what this is all about? He's done so much for me. How could I not? He gave me the strength to work this week. He gave me the health. It's not about what I've done. It's about what He's done. Oh, pastor, what are you saying? That I don't have to, and I can get by, and I don't have to pray, and I don't have to give, and thank the Lord. He says, you're serving one or the other. You're either serving money or you're serving God. I work for my money. I serve the Lord. Huh? I work for my money. But I put my ear to the doorpost and said, here it is, Lord. I want to be a servant. I'll serve you gladly. I work for these. I don't work for God. It's a privilege. Oh, but you know, sometimes it's late at night. Sometimes it's early in the morning. But it's still a privilege to be able to come in and feel the presence of God. If I get it wrong, if I get it mixed up, before long I'm serving my money. I'm working for God, and then I get to feeling a little bit disgruntled and upset, and you know, and God, you owe me, and God, it's not fair, and God, I hate to tell you this, but He's paid the price. There's nothing I can do to work for Him. Let's stand. Bow your heads.
And Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. The church of the living God is the one place where people who are fighting themselves can come and tell the truth. I'll be honest with you, this kind of love is hard to comprehend, especially when people give and remove their love based on whether you do what they is pleasing to them. The Lord loved us while we were sinners, before I ever bowed my knee at an altar. I heard someone say over the weekend that it's much easier to get forgiveness from God than from people, because His mercy is endless. And the Bible says the Lord pities us as a father pities his children, for He remembers our frame, that we are dust. So while we stand here, along our journey all together like sheep in a flock. He's going to outlive us all. And yet knows every single one of us by name. And watches us struggle to work off our debt, our moral debt, the feelings of insecurity, of childhood, maybe of things done wrong to us. We work so hard to remove things that make us feel bad about ourselves. We build fences and walls and shrines and monuments. We set impossible expectations on ourselves and struggle daily to meet them. Most people aren't fighting other people. They're wrestling with what they see in themselves. And most of us pay a terrible price for that fight. A lot of us pass into eternity long before we were meant to because we are not peaceful. Because we are still searching for significance. But I feel the shepherd here this morning. It wouldn't matter if you gave every last penny or every ounce of blood in your body. Not one of us could change or affect the great love that held that precious man to a cross while he bore all of a struggle that we endure on the inside. And that man said, "All ye that labor and are heavy, come to me and I will give you rest." Jesus, we are standing in your presence. Pitiful and precious. Hallelujah. Oh, I ask you, Lord, that you would draw us to you. We are in such need of you. We are very proud. We don't like to show people how really insecure and pitiful we are. We dress it up and fix it, color it, curl it, try to make it look better, but it's still all the same to you. The currency of human souls struggling to hold their heads above water. I see a nail-scarred hand stretched to us. Ashadai.